Hey, welcome to the Mark for Eternity podcast. Thanks for joining us here on session three of season one here. Paul, we're diving into Reformation, the restoration of the church. Mm-hmm. We've talked about five ministries. We're starting to hit a little bit on recapturing the preeminence of Christ as the head, the cornerstone. Just, you know, I felt like a fresh spirit of conviction. Like, you know, the call to servanthood. I wanted to talk a little bit on this session, on this episode about, you know, it's been a real mystery. Again, you and I, we both went to a Christian university. We paid all of this money. No one ever, like literally ever, talked about five ministries. It was just pretty much anyone in ministry you called pastor.
Yeah.
And so you go to churches and you're a part of different whatever, and it's like pastor this and pastor that. And so I kind of want to talk about an elephant in the room. I mean, I don't, maybe I'm pointing it out to people for the first time or they're just not aware, but I want to make sure that people are understanding, like we are saying that we believe the Bible says that there are five ministries that Jesus, this is not NAR with Paul and Jeremiah. Like this is, we're saying Jesus, this was his idea, eternal plans and mysteries, to give five ministries to the church. So apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. And Paul, I've often found it interesting, out of the five ministries, the two that are most mentioned in the New Testament are apostles and prophets.
Correct.
Totally normal. Welcome, though, to the 21st century where it's flip-flopped, right? So now what's normal is pastors, teachers, and if anyone travels, they're an evangelist.
Yep.
So we've completely flip-flopped. What was most common in the New Testament is now totally uncommon in the 21st century.
Right.
And then when you start talking about five ministries, people are like, huh, that's interesting. I've only ever known a pastor.
Right.
Or maybe I had a teaching elder. Or, oh, yeah, I know evangelists so-and-so. They win people to Christ. So it's not like we're saying apostles and prophets are better than pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But we really are saying, like, wait a minute. There's five ministries. If you don't have all five ministries and we're not honoring them, making room for them, we've got a challenge. We've got a problem. There's an elephant in the room. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, just imagine, let's keep it simple just for the sake of teaching, that a cake took five ingredients to make. Now, I think it takes a little more than that, but let's say it takes five ingredients to make it. Would you eat that cake if it had four or five or three or five or two or five? Something's going to taste off. Something's not going to turn out right. And quite literally, that's what's happening in the church, is there's a lack of the expression of the fullness of Christ's ministry. And because the fivefold ministry is given to build up the body, to mature and to stabilize her, we lack stability, we lack maturity, and we're not built up. We're broken down because the fivefold ministry is broken down. And because people don't understand these realities, you know, I was saying in the last episode that, you know, if you believe in fivefold ministry and you support it, but you don't make room for others, I don't know that you really believe in the fivefold ministry. Or maybe you do mentally, but you know, you're too insecure. Because what if you bring in a prophet who blows the doors off the place? If your agenda is God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, the wind of God is here and people are getting awakened and activated and stirred up by the grace that the prophet was bringing to your body. But it's like, well, I don't want to be out preached. I don't want to be outdone. What if people like them more than me? And it's like, it's all the selfishness and the self-centeredness that kills the expression of fivefold ministry. So what we're saying, to make it really practical, is if you are a part of the fivefold ministry, you have to honor and make room for others, which means you literally are going to have to sit down.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make room for other people to talk. You're going to have to build other people up. You're supposed to be training and growing people up in your care so that you can work yourself out of a job.
Yeah. And I mean, again, this is so like countercultural. you know, when I look at the five ministries, and Paul, maybe we can begin to explain part of their functions and the grace on them so that people can kind of, you know, connect. But I mean, I've been in pastors' meetings, okay, where they're going to go on vacation and they literally say, this is dead serious, I'm going to bring in somebody while I'm gone that's a worse preacher than me. Jesus. So that when I get back, my people will appreciate me more. I mean, you think I'm kidding, but that is such a prevalent mentality where, Paul, I even feel like it's like of the five ministries, the pastors, the one out of the five, sometimes they're more caring. Sometimes they have more of a gift of mercy and compassion. So what I think we did, and then this is just my theory, it's like, okay, we picked the one and said, you be the face of the local church. So we put pastors up here and said, hey, you're nice, you're compassionate, you're caring. And what we've done is we've put a burden and a responsibility and even an authority on one main guy or woman and said, you're going to carry the grace and the burden of all five ministries. And what ends up happening? Suicide, burnout, adultery. The way that I look at it is like, yeah, we're reaping what we've sown. Yep. The westernized American church is so deeply fractured and broken. And I can just hear people like, oh, here we go again, fivefold ministry and whatever. And it's like, you're not hearing what we're saying. The reason why. And here's Paul, to your point, it's like people agree with us, but they still go to churches and ministries that do the exact opposite of what we're talking about. Right. You're going to have people amen this whole series, and yet they literally go to a church, or half of them don't even go to churches. I stay at home, or, oh, I go to a church with senior pastor, whatever, and he's in the pulpit 50 out of 52 Sundays. And it's like, yes, doing a one-man ministry that's contrary to God's blueprint and plans. And again, another example, I'm at a large church, and it's a celebration anniversary for a pastor, a senior pastor. He's been there 42 years, and he has never missed a Sunday. And they're applauding and they're cheering this man's faithfulness, 42 years of 52 Sundays of his loyalty and faithfulness. And I'm in the back under the spirit of travail, mourning and weeping for the people. I'm like, that you were only ever exposed to one man's ministry for 52, for whatever it was, 40 something years, to your point. Yeah. You've only had one ingredient in a cake for 40 something years, and you've never had any other portion of Christ. I mean, I hate to get so intense, but this is...
You don't hate it.
This is hard. It's a hard, my heart grieves for saints. My heart grieves for pastors and leaders who they're fearful, they're insecure. God forbid they wouldn't preach on a Sunday because either in their mind, I'm not being faithful to God, or people, congregants, I'm not going to tithe today if Pastor Bob's not here. I'm like, this stuff is not in the Bible.
No, not hardly. So I think it's important to understand that we are explaining and trying to bring revelation to the fact that without the full expression of the fivefold ministry, you are literally missing grace from Christ. You're missing the manifestation, and you're missing the fullness of who he is. So we've been discussing how Christ was apostolic in his ministry. He was also prophetic in his ministry, right? How did he know that the woman at the well had had five husbands? Well, and because he had a word of knowledge, he was functioning prophetically. We know he was evangelistic in his ministry. He was Luke 19:10. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to reconcile people. You know, when he tells the parables. He talks about you leave the 99 to go after the one. I mean, that's shepherding, but that's also evangelism. That's also the pursuit of those who are astray. Obviously, Christ was a teacher. In John 3, Rabbi. Nicodemus calls him Rabbi, which means teacher. You're the teacher of Israel. He recognized you're a greater teacher than I am. He sat down to teach. He was the good shepherd. He shepherded and cared for people. He loved them. He came to bind up their wounds and bring healing. And so what we're saying is that we only have a small portion of Christ's grace. And so if you're only drinking or eating or experiencing the grace of one man or woman, then you're lacking the fullness. We need a bigger palate, so to speak. We need to expand our diet, and we need to have more of a variety, not for the sake of variety, for the sake of Jesus.
Right.
For the sake of, there are people that have a grace on their life and an understanding and a walk with God in a way that I do not, that would be a blessing to the people that I'm responsible to lead if I would get secure in Christ and get out of the way and spend the money and send the invitations and honor people rightly. Don't bring someone into your church and pay them $100 when they drove across the country. It's honor that gets these things functioning and going and manifesting rightly that leads to the maturity of the body. So this is so that we are not lacking who Christ is. This is all about Jesus. The fivefold ministry is about Jesus. It's not even really about apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. It's about Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about Christ, I mean, I'm thinking teams. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking like a major hindrance in the church today is this mentality that I have to do everything. Right. Or this mentality of it's all about me, like you talked about early, the pride and the arrogance. I mean, even Jesus gathered a team around him.
Yep.
Like, and then even as Paul gets sent, he's with Barnabas, he's with like, there was no such thing as itinerant ministry on your own. We're always working in team. We're always working in tandem with other people. So I just feel like the burden of the Lord of like helping people get set free. Mm-hmm. I think that there are captives of religion that are watching this today, who you are enslaved to a Babylonian system of church or the American way. And I believe God is calling our generation back to the ancient past. Mm-hmm. He's calling us back to the eternal counsel of God. And I think it's really like, are you willing to build my way? Or do you just want to keep doing it your way? You know, again, you and I are Bible college, university trained. And yet even in the study of all the studying that we did, there was no mention. In fact, there was really a track to become the senior pastor. You know, you and I, because we plant churches, right, and we do different things, you know, we have experiential knowledge of what happens when you build a team. Mm-hmm. What happens when you have a preaching rotation? It's like, what happens when you dethrone yourself and you try to tell people, hey, stop worshiping me. Hey, I'm not going to be here all the time. I'm going to travel. I'm going to go and function in apostolic prophetic grace. But the God is knocking on the door. I sense an urgency, like, even right now, I'm just asking God to bring, like, to sober some people up right now, like, even that are drunk on church mechanism and church growth techniques and trying to find the latest, greatest way to grow your church. Like, stop, like, be delivered right now in Jesus' name. Like, there's a blueprint, there's a team, there's a revelation of Christ Jesus that he's releasing.
Oh yeah, man. And I want to speak to pastors or ministry leaders. You know, if you feel the pressure to conceal the fact that you're going to be gone, if you feel like you need to hide the fact that you're going on vacation next week, what that indicates is that deep down you know that the church is built on you.
Yeah.
It's built on your preaching, and the people are there for you. Rather than being there for God and being there for one another, rather than being a family they're there to attend something and to spectate, where God wants the local church to be a family, a body of believers who are contending and warring for God, with God, together as one body, who are knit together in love, as the scripture says. And so I just want to encourage people that there's a better way, that this is actually a solution if we would humble ourselves and receive it. This isn't just because we're mad at pastors and we don't want you to preach every week. It's so that you could have rest and yes, longevity and peace in your life, so that you could sit and learn and receive from others. And you model for people that I don't know it all. I yes, don't have it all. I'm learning and receiving. I'm being ministered to. I mean, I know the fivefold ministers that we've brought into our Father's house in Indiana. I think they've benefited me and Taylor and our leadership team in tremendous ways. We've yeah, received, we've been blessed, we've been activated, we've had an impartation of the life and ministry of Jesus that we did not have. And that's so beautiful. You know, when you put multiple streams together, what do you get? A river. And we want the rushing river of the Spirit of God. Well, you're going to have to unite the streams. And if the fivefold ministry is, each of them are a stream bringing them together, even bringing people that are outside of your camp or your yep, movement or your sphere at your denomination, and breaking down those barriers and those dividing walls and allowing the body to come alive and to experience the fullness of Christ. Man, these conversations get me really excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, and people like they've heard me preach on this or travel. They're like, you're preaching against pastors. I'm like, yeah, I'm not preaching against pastors. I actually have a burden for them. Yes. Like I said earlier, I'm concerned that we are putting all weight, all responsibility, all demands on one ministry when it's meant to be shared among a team of fivefold ministers. I mean, I you know, there was like a recent suicide of a pastor, yes, or you hear affairs or you hear money. I'm just like, Lord Jesus. I know people, oh, Pat, but I'm like, we've put things on them that were never intended to be put on them. So are we against pastors? No, absolutely not. But what we are saying is, hey, it would be a lot easier. Like as John said, the commands of the Lord are not burdensome. You wouldn't have to worry about going on vacation and being yeah, gone and where's the money going to come from if we built a team.
Yes.
If we shared the pulpit, yep, if we let people help disciple and serve. But again, Paul, I think maybe we can even do another session on this. You know, we tend to find identity in ministry.
Right.
And so we're never going to give up the pulpit because we determine our worth, value, and significance yeah, on whether we're preaching that Sunday or not.
Right.
And the truth is, you said it earlier, a lot of people will not sit down. Right. A lot of people will not make room for other people because we're committing ministry idolatry. And right, the Lord, he's touching on that even now. As much as we're four pastors, but yet there's four other ministries. And as much as our heart is burdened for reformation and restoration in the church, you could be an apostle leading a church.
Right.
You could be a pastor leading the church. But if we're finding our worth, value, and our significance in a title or in right, a position, that's something that Christ never did. He came to be the servant of all, and he found his validation in the Father's pleasure for his life.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's so important to find out who you are before pursuing what you're called to.
Okay.
And so let's say there's someone listening and you're not yet really flowing in the grace, that you're wondering what is the call or the gift on my life, or it's still in development. Of course, we're all in process, but it's important to find out who you are before you pursue what you're called to do, because if your identity is the foundation for your ministry, then your ministry becomes your identity, and then both collapse.
Yep.
Where your ministry isn't your identity. We do this with the whole titles and all that. It's like, oh, I'm Paul. I'm your brother. I'm here to serve. I don't need a title. I don't want recognition. I want to help. I want to serve. I want to bless what God is doing in your life or in your church if
Wait
I'm traveling.
A minute. I don't have to introduce myself as Prophet Jeremiah.
Please
and
don't.
You're not Apostle Paul. We don't have to do that. We're giving people permission to stop introducing yourself by your fivefold ministry title.
Yeah.
And we're sons to the Father.
Yeah, and you could just go ahead and delete it off of your Facebook page too and just go by your God-given name. It'd be great.
I'm Paul. I'm Jeremiah. Servants, sons, our identities in Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Well, now that we made everybody mad, probably good to just finish with a letter. I want to bring some distinction to the fivefold ministry. I want to continue to do this throughout all of our episodes. So real quickly, I have a bunch of letters. And what this is I use a letter and all the verbs start with that letter that bring distinction to the fivefold. Okay, you ready?
Yep, let's hear it.
So apostles activate. This is the A. Apostles activate. Prophets awaken. Evangelists apprehend, shepherds affirm, and teachers apply. So you can gather from this the different distinctions, the way that they function and manifest. The apostolic ministry has an activation, get equipped, let's get mobilized, let's go after something. There's an invigoration that happens. Prophets have an awakening. You know, a prophet's going to tell you to wake up, you're sleeping. There's an alarming thing that's on their life that's grace from God, so we don't sleep when the Son of Man returns. Evangelists apprehend the lost, bring arrest them, pursue them, acquire them, add them, you could say, more A's to the flock. Shepherds are affirming. They're comforting in nature. They have a way of building you up in that way. And then teachers apply the word of God. You need to know the word. How do we apply it to our lives? And you may relate to one or two or all five of those. It's all Jesus.
Yeah.
It's all good. I really think at the end of the day, the fivefold ministry, while we need to make distinctions, it's all Christ.
Yep.
So it's not as divided as we want to make it out to be. It's all Jesus. Just be yourself, because the most anointed you is the authentic you.
Yeah. Paul, will you pray for us as we close today?
Yeah, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would stir, that you would activate, that you would impart truth to our spirits. Lord, I pray for our listeners that there would be a stirring and an awakening. Father, I pray, Lord, for those pastors or those ministry leaders that may be burned out and struggling, that are maybe even contemplating a way out or wanting to quit. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen them. Lord, that you would show them your blueprint and your pathway, that there's a better way. God, I pray that you would restore the ministry in the church, that we would do it your way, that we would repent for doing it our way, according to our own wisdom. Lord, we're asking for a full representation and manifestation of who you are, Lord, that we might grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus. We love you and we thank you for your truth, because it sets us free, and that's what we need. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, I just have this phrase in my heart, help is on the way.
Come on.
Really believe those watching today, help is on the way. If you'll open up your heart, you'll hear what the Spirit of God is saying, help is on the way. Thanks.